I'm going to move this down. Am I really loud? Or is that buzzing in my ear? Is it behind me? The speakers? Good. I thought that was my ears for a second. Well, amen. Welcome, everyone, today. Archbishop Jones is doing a conference, I believe. He's still doing the conference, or is he through with it? Yeah, he's in North Carolina. He was in the Carolinas, right? Well, amen. Well, you know, the Lord's had us just kind of going back and revisiting some foundational truths. I think for the rest of our lives, we'll always make that journey because, you know, we never really get it right. You know, when Paul started the book of Ephesians, I've just been kind of hanging out in the book of Ephesians for a while. When Paul started writing the book of Ephesians, the first 14 verses are like one paragraph. And then after he tells them these wonderful things about Christ, about having every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, all these things we get through Christ, redemption and all this stuff, then he says this, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, right? And I pray that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, he's saying, I just told you a bunch of wonderful stuff that you cannot understand, so I'm asking God to release a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. So the first three chapters, which you know the chapters were put there by man, but the first three chapters of Ephesians is talking about who we are and our position with Christ, everything that we have. The last three chapters are, okay, guys, now let's walk out this truth that I've just told you. And in chapter 3, he even says, it was made known to me by way of revelation. What I know, God gave me by revelation. So having a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, is really a cool thing to pray for. I pray for that. That's one of my daily prayers. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. Because when you're talking about Christ living in you, Scripture talks about that as being a mystery. Okay? Well, how can I understand a mystery? You can't. The only thing you can do with a mystery is experience the mystery. Right? It's a mystery. You can't understand it. Like Jesus living in your heart. Well, where? You know? Which chamber does He live? Does He live in the chamber in my heart? Or, you know, just one of them and can only speak to me like when a valve opens or something? No. It's my spirit. You can't understand that, but it's a reality, right? He lives in my spirit. So, we're going to be talking about just some foundational stuff in Ephesians chapter 4. We're jumping around just a little bit. Because the reality is, and what I'm going to read to you, most of us find ourselves living the Christian life out of what Scripture calls the old man or our fallen nature. And we don't live in the reality of the new creation that we are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, popular verse, one of my first memory verses when I used to be in a group called the Navigators. And that's how I started back in the Army. I ran in this group, the Navigators, really good group. They're really big into Scripture, though. They got me in Scripture. You know, Bible studies and Scripture memory. And they'd give you these Scripture memory cards, and you'd memorize them, then they'd send you more. And I probably had 200 or 300 of them, you know. So we'd have group dates and stuff, and we'd impress the girls by, you know, quoting Scripture memory, you know, like they thought that was really cool. Can't talk to you right now. I'm quoting Scripture, you know. So that's what they did, but it really helped lay a foundation in my life of the Word. You know, getting in this real, and we really are in a time, one of the prophetic words that went out, we're just in a real time where there's a real famine for the Word of God. You know, back when I came to the Lord and got saved in the 80s, the Bible study was it. I mean, there was not much worship. You know, you just went to Bible studies and somebody may play a song, you know, like, I love you, Lord. That's about all there was, you know. Now we're in a time where there's a real heavy emphasis on worship. Way over here, it's kind of like a pendulum swinging way over here, and there's not a real emphasis on the Word. And so God is really bringing us to a place to where He's kind of kicking that in again. Hey, guys, let's get in the Word, you know. Because, see, worship has never set anyone free, right? That's an expression of that. It can help me. Truth sets me free, right? Truth always sets me free. So I've got to get in truth somehow. So in chapter 4, you know, Paul's writing this letter from prison. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. So there's a walking in worthy, being called with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. It's an interesting thing that when he talks about, okay, guys, let's start walking this out, he says, do it with humility, you know, with teachable spirit, showing forbearance to one another. Forbearance means great patience, right? So he said, when you're learning how to walk this out and walk in the Spirit, one thing you got to have is great patience with each other. In other words, we're going to blow it a lot, right? We're going to stumble a lot. So let's have great patience with each other. Jumping over to verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk, talking to Christians, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. Gentiles here being unsaved people. In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus. So what he's saying here is you can know, be saved, and still live like you're lost. Okay? And people who are living out of this, the old man of the fallen nature, which we'll get into a little bit, have given themselves over to sensuality. That means we live by what we feel, our senses. Okay? Their heart become callous. So we live by what, and start, so we start living our Christian life based on how we feel. Okay? Sensuality, my senses. I can't tell you how many people I see, you know, single couples or whatever, well, I just don't want to do this. Well, why? I don't feel it anymore, you know? I don't want to have to love my wife. Well, why not? What are you talking about? I don't feel love anymore. I don't want to, my husband, I don't feel anymore, okay? So then we've kind of drifted over to a place where we're not walking in who we are or truth anymore. We're just living out of kind of how we feel, right? So I'll come back, really, and I'll say, would you love God? Yeah. Isn't that the first commandment? We're to love God with all my heart, soul, body? Yeah. Do you always feel love for God? Well, no. Well, there you go. How does the Scripture tell me to love God? You know? Matter of fact, in 1 John it says we love with word and with tongue, not in deed and truth. I mean, with deed and truth, not in word and tongue, right? Okay. So, here he's talking to them. All right, he just told them a bunch of this truth that was just incredible. And so, okay, now we got to walk it out. And I'm going to help you because some of you are still walking like, and you're living out of this fallen nature, your old man. All right. You do not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you've heard Him, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self or the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on this new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Again, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside this old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of mind and put on this new self. What is this new self? It's the likeness of God. It's being created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Okay. And the terminology he's using is just like a garment. You know, taking off a garment and putting it on. That we have this old self that we no longer need to wear anymore. And we need to put on, just like you would a clothes, the new self. The new creation. Learn how to live out of the new creation where Christ is. And simply, before we were saved, we were dead, right, in our trespasses and sins. And if man is made up of three parts, our physical body, our soul, and our spirit, before you came to know Jesus, your spirit's dead, right? And Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, came into that place in my spirit and made me alive with Christ. Therefore, I'm a new creation. Something that never existed before is now. Okay? And when walking with God and walking with Christ, I have to learn how to live out of this place. What we find is that most Christians live still out of the old man. Okay? Trying to live the Christian life in your own strength, obeying God in your own power, and you know what will happen? You'll get very frustrated and find that you can't do it. Then you'll start faking it. Okay? And that's what happens is when Jesus talks about the things of the world start pulling. Now that old man, a person that you were apart from Christ, is under a law. Okay? We've been hearing that a lot. And I feel like I'm in like, I don't mean to insult anybody. I mean, I know we're going to some real simple things, okay? I feel like I'm first grade teaching, but it's true, okay? So y'all forgive me. I'm not trying to insult anybody. So, where was I? Yes, thank you. The old man's under the law. Okay. Sin if you're paying attention. If I hold this Bible up like this, I can hold it up probably a pretty good while. But eventually, you know what's going to happen? There's this law of gravity that's going to take over. And it's going to pull me down just like that. The old man, this old self that we've just been to Paul's talking about, is under a law of sin. It always will be. And that law of sin is always pulling at it. And it always gravitates toward the law of sin. Just like they always say, a pig is a pig no matter how you dress it up. You can put perfume on it, put it in a dress, put lipstick on it. It's still a pig. And as soon as it finds some mud, it's going to go waller in it. Okay? That's the old man. It cannot live the Christian life. Right? But what Paul is saying here, and he's talking to people who are still living that way. Hey guys, you're living out of the old man. In reference to that, let's lay that aside and let's put on this new man. And this new man has been created in the very image of God because God now lives in him. Not to just totally eradicate me. I have a new me, right? And it's been created in righteousness. What does that mean, created in righteousness? That means to walk in righteousness. Righteous means righteous acts of God, to do the right thing. It's created to do the right thing. And it's created in holiness. It means to be set apart unto God, to obey Him. That's the way it's been created. Okay? So I'm now like, wow, maybe I can do this thing now. Because I have this new self where Christ is. In Romans chapter 6, he's going to be talking about the old self here a little bit and about victory. Okay? Always remember this. Victory is not a goal that you head toward. Right? For the Christian, victory is a reality. It's where you start from. It's not a goal. That means it's something. If something's a goal, I mean I'm headed towards it, right? But victory for the Christian is the starting place. That's where you live from. You live in victory. Does that make sense? Now, in Romans 6, starting in verse 6, knowing this, here's this word again, our old self, old man, was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And that done away with means made powerless, that I don't have to give into it anymore. Again, knowing this, our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be made powerless, that I should no longer be slaves to it. The power of sin. For he who has died with Christ is freed from sin. Does that mean I'm sinless and never blow it? No. What it says is you're freed in Christ from the power of sin in your life. That I don't have to give into it anymore because I'm starting from a place of victory, right? Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Okay? We've been going over this verse a lot. Bishop Jones has been using this verse a lot. Like the life that he lives. Well, where does he live that life now? In me. Okay? But also, I want you to skip by this here. Not only the life that he lives in me, but the death that he died is in me too. And the death that he died is the death to the power of sin in my life. It lives in me. Meaning that you and I are forever freed from the power of sin, which eradicates all of my excuses forevermore. Right? That I don't have to ever give into it again. And if you go and read, even in Colossians, when it talks about the same thing Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, if you go to Colossians chapter 3 and read that about the new man, he starts telling you what it looks like. Put on a heart of compassion and kindness and on and on and on. Right? That's what it looks like, this new life. Even in Ephesians, when it talks about, after that we'll get back to in a minute, you know, about therefore laying aside falsehood. And it goes on about what this new thing looks like that I'm putting on now. It's been created in the likeness of God, which lives in me. And is now, that is my power from where I live. Because Paul said, I want you your eyes to be enlightened and you get a spirit of wisdom and revelation about God. So you may know what the hope of His calling is, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing power that's given to you from God. And see, part of my Christian testimony is, you know, not that I was saved and delivered from, you know, a life of carousing, you know, which I was, but my real testimony is that I walked with the Lord for years defeated. And what changed my life is the power of God. So what I needed was power to live, right? I just couldn't make all this work. Even though I tried my best to be patient and kind and all those things you're supposed to do, you know, I was miserable at it. Not only was I miserable at it, but I found myself falling into oppression and being very depressed. And I was that way for years, you know? So God brought me to this place of absolute desperation, which when He brings you to that place, you kind of chunk your theology out the window, right? In a lot of areas. Because you're desperate for Him. And so I came up to this little church back in 91. And these people laid hands on me and said, you know what you need? You need the power of God. You need the Holy Spirit to be released in you. And it changed my life. You know? It changed my life. Because now, from my innermost being, from this new creation that I was, all of a sudden life was coming forth. And I was learning how to tap into this new creation. Okay? For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. So consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin, in whatever form, reign in your body, that you should obey its lust. And again, we're talking about the power of sin. Well, what lust is in very different for all of us? What is the power of sin called asking you to do? In relationship to each other. All right? In my marriage relationship. There's the power of sin there. And it's lust wanting me to do something. All right? Wanting me to be selfish. Wanting me to, you know, stop doing this, or, you know, I ain't doing this till you get right. You know, all kind of things. That's the lust of the flesh telling me to do. But I'm set free from its power. I don't have to give into it anymore. I'm in a place of victory. I can really start walking in this. And I can really start loving that person that I'm called to be with, not on the basis of how I feel or on the basis of what they may have done or disappointed me. You got it? I'm no longer slave to it. And if I'm giving in to it, just like Scripture says, whatever man is overcome by this, he is enslaved. Whatever you're overcome. So this is a broad area. And we talk about sin. We're not just talking about, you know, few little things. We're talking about the power of sin in my life, pulling at me, making me feel like a prisoner. The truth is, as a Christian, you're only a prisoner of one thing. You're a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. And if you find yourself a prisoner to anything else, you're just deceived. It's like you're standing in some bars, you're holding some bars, and you think you're in prison, and you look behind you and the door's open. The door's been opened. Jesus opened the door. And all I've got to do is walk out of there, right? It's just as simple as that. I can walk out of this thing now. Amen? So consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin, alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your body, that you should obey its lust. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What are my members of my body? My tongue, right? My thoughts, my actions, everything that represents my members, right? Now I can present them to God as those alive from the dead, and my very members as an instrument of righteousness. My tongue is now an instrument of righteousness. My thoughts are now an instrument of righteousness. My actions are now, what I do, all instruments of righteousness. Okay? That's what living out of the new creation is all about. And if I'm not, if I'm enslaved to, man, I just speak whatever's on my mind and I just blast those who are in front of me, you know? Well, that's just, you're living in the old man. What do you need to do? Take it off, put it on. Simple. Know that, hey, I'm really dead to this. I don't have to give in to this anymore. The problem is, where I may find myself is, and this is the truth, I just don't want to do it. Right? I just don't want to. And that's where our healing comes in, with the healing ministry. It's called repentance. Right, Olivia? Where you lead people to repentance. You just have to repent of not wanting to do it. And we give ourselves over. For sin shall not be master over you. For you are not under law, but you're now under grace. You're under the grace of God. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one you obey? Either of sin, resulting in death, or of obedience, resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching that you're committed to. So, important to be conformed to a way of teaching, right? In other words, God is teaching us these things because He wants us to get it. And having been freed from sin, you became a slave of righteousness. And again, we are slaves of the one we obey. And what God is doing, and in this revival, He's teaching us how to be slaves of the truth, of righteousness. That's who we really are. In my new creation, I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to Jesus. That's the one I'm going to obey. But I do find myself obeying sin a lot of times, don't you? I do. But the truth is, sometimes I'll ask the Lord, oh, God, set me free from this. I need to be set free from this. And He'll speak this thing to me. You are set free from it. Now start thanking me and walking like that's true. You mean, Lord, it's that simple? Yep, pretty much that simple. Well, what you find yourself, Craig, throughout your life is you've just been unwilling to do it. Because you're proclaiming your rights. And truth is, we have no rights, right? When I'm a slave to someone, I'm the slave to the one I obey. We're slaves of obedience. We're slaves of righteousness. That's who you are. You now have the Godhead living within you. All that Jesus has is all that you have. Matter of fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, you have everything pertaining to life and godliness already. Where is it? It's in you. So there's nothing more I need. I already have it. I just got to experience what I already have and walk in the truth. Right? And each of us now, as I'm speaking, you're slaves to one of two things. You're a slave to the power of sin. That's why you're miserable. Or you're a slave to righteousness and obedience. And that's why you're happy. So if I'm miserable, that means somewhere in my life I'm a slave to it. Yeah, exactly. We just got to go back and help you get out of the cell. That's what inner healing and deliverance is all about. We're just going to help you get out of the cell. We're going to help you see the truth for what the truth is. Okay? That doesn't mean that we don't have to do ministry, we don't pray for people and stuff like that, because it just helps. Ah, I see it now. Turn around. Oh, there's the door. Okay, I got you. Out of there. And repent means to change your mind, right? I just need to change my mind on some things. Lord, you mean I've been living like this for so long and I don't have to live like this anymore? Yep. Right? The truth? The truth is in Jesus, as Ephesians says. Just as you have learned and been taught in Him that truth is in Jesus. That you put on the new self who's been made in the likeness of God. Therefore, in Ephesians chapter 5, 1, it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love just as Christ also loves you. But a long time ago, I used to get that memory verse and it would just be off by itself. Be imitators of God. Okay? You want to try that one? That one's tough. Okay? But you got to build up to what he's saying all the way too. Therefore, be imitators of God. Why? Because you're a new creation and the presence of God is now in you. I can be an imitator of God now. Right? Because I've been created in holiness and righteousness of truth. I'm a new creation. Now everything that I live out of that place now where the power of God is there, where Jesus Christ Himself is living out through my members. Ah, so that's how I can be an imitator of God. That makes a lot more sense. I can sit down on that one now. I can kind of walk that one out. I just can't be an imitator of God apart from that previous knowledge, right? Because then I'm going to find myself back living like the Gentiles again, you know, because the power of sin will just pull me down. So as we're learning how to walk this out, you know, I think this is a real important time for us here at Christ the King and for the body of Christ, that we're revisiting some of these real foundational things. And anybody who's in construction knows that if the foundation is messed up, you've got to tear everything down and rebuild the foundation. Right, Michael Moat? Foundation means everything when you're building. And Jesus Christ being the cornerstone. So, again, foundation. We get our ears turned on in what God is saying, you know, to us. Bishop Chuck's going to be doing this. And this is just something the Lord laid on my heart to do. I've just kind of camped out. Sometimes the Lord will lead you places and you just kind of, you know. But sometimes there's a place He says, all right, now pitch your tent. We're going to spend some time here because I want you to see something. Me. I want you to see something. Okay? Amen. All right. Well, I would ramble on, but that's about all I got today. Amen.